This is the fourth in a series of five forums with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This forum is about education and took place at the Roosevelt Thompson Library, Monday, October 1st from 6:30 to 7:30. This series of forums is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, UA Little Rock Public Radio. Michael Hiblin of KUAR News is the moderator. The next forum takes place Monday night, October 15th from 6:30 to 7:30 at Ron Robinson Theater and will cover general topics. Now we'll jump right in with opening statements, beginning with Warwick Sabin.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm really glad we're here to talk about education in the context of the mayoral race because for too long, our elected political leadership here in the city of Little Rock has not engaged on this issue. They have used the excuse, you know, that the school district is administered separately, so they don't have a role to play. But show me a great American city where the political leadership isn't fully engaged in making sure that every young person in their city can receive a quality public education. And for me, it's a question of equity, because we know right now we do not deliver the same quality of education to every student, regardless of where they live in this city. We all know people who've had to move from one neighborhood to another to get their kids into the right public school, or who send their kids to private school, or who move out of the city to give their kids a better education, or we have trouble bringing people to the city for that reason. But the problem is so many people don't have the choice to move from one neighborhood to the other. We need to make sure that we're delivering a quality public education to every young person, no matter where they live in the city, and as mayor, I will be fully engaged to make that happen.
Glenn Schwartz, good timing. Opening statements.
Super.
Now, I'm Glenn Schwartz. I'm also a candidate for mayor. Mayor Schwartz, be with you. I don't know why we're having a debate on education. I don't think that the city of Little Rock has anything to do with education. But since we are, I have a couple of comments to make about it. How long do we have anyway? Is this a minute?
1 minute.
Okay. Yeah, 16 years of education myself. I'm a college graduate from Florida State. And the most important course I ever took in all those years was a driver's ed course in junior and high school. And we don't offer driver's ed here in Arkansas, and I think it shows. I think we should teach honesty in the schools. And I think that's the two contributions I would like to make to make some changes in the Little Rock and the and all the school systems we have in Little Rock.
Frank Scott Jr.
Good afternoon, everyone. We've shared our story throughout this tenure here with the League of Women Voters. I want to say thank you for the opportunity. As I think about education, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, Ernest Green was in town of the Little Rock Nine, in town to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Daisy Bates' birthday. And he talked about two things that held Little Rock back from reaching its true potential, and part of the reason why I'm running for mayor. That's diversity in the marketplace, and that's educational achievement. I stand before you today as a proud product of the Little Rock School District, a product of Little Rock Park, the Arts and Science Magnet, Horace Mann Magnet, and very thankful for the education that I received. And what's going to really take Little Rock to the next level is that we have a mayor that's no longer silent about education in Little Rock School District that leads and truly has an agenda for the mayor to lead on the most precious assets of our city, which are our children and the educators that are teaching those children. Please visit frankscottjr.com and learn more about our opportunity agenda that focuses squarely on youth and education and what a mayor actually can do in our city. Thank you so much.
Vincent Tolliver.
Thank you, Michael. Vincent Tolliver for mayor of the great city of Little Rock. In order for us to have a coherent conversation about this important topic of education this evening, I think it's important, essential that we have a bit of context. On September 29, 1958, which was exactly 60 years, 2 days ago to today's date, the Supreme Court rendered an opinion in Cooper v. Aaron. And essentially what that opinion did, it established Brown v. Board of Education as the law of the land, and it prevented the plaintiffs, Cooper, from staying in order to desegregate Little Rock. They didn't want to continue to desegregate Little Rock. And what's important about that opinion, and today we are resegregating Little Rock with the proliferation of charter schools. And what we have today, it's important to note, in the persons of Jenny Key and Governor Asa Hutchinson, we have the reincarnation of Orville Faubus and William Cooper. So I think that context is quite important to make.
And finally, Baker Curris.
Good evening. Pleasure to be with you tonight. I started in the Little Rock School District as a first grader, and I've been a parent, a volunteer, a school board member for 12 years. I think I went to 350 meetings, and I don't recall missing one, which is a lot to learn in that 12-year period. Then I was superintendent of schools. All that very important. I want local control. I've been a school board member. But I think when we talk about education, especially from the mayor's perspective, you have to look more broadly than just at this school, Little Rock School District. We're sitting in the county school district right now, incidentally. We're also served by major charter schools, which are in the top 20 school districts in this state. UAMS has a $1.4 billion budget. It's an educational institution that's has its difficulties. Likewise, Pulaski Technical College has enrollment cut in two. University of Arkansas at Little Rock has a 10% drop in its enrollment. These institutions are critical to the health of our city, and without support from the mayor's office, we're going to really struggle if they fail. So I want to talk about all those things tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Question one, what have been the benefits, if any, and what have been the downsides, if any, of the state takeover of the Little Rock School District? Mr. Schwartz.
All right, I get to go first, huh? I support local control too, so I'm going to agree with Mr. Curris over there. That's a travesty that they have taken over our school district, and local control should be returned to the school district as soon as possible.
Mr. Tolliver? I'm sorry, Mr. Scott. No, it is Mr. Tolliver. Sorry.
No. Oh, we go.
No, I'm sorry. I'm off.
It's actually Frank Scott, Michael. He's next.
Now, come on, Michael. That's the second time this time. We got to get this together. I have old glasses. No, I'm just joking with this. All right. I understand. We actually do look a lot alike with our haircut. It's okay. Everybody can have a little fun, right? As it relates to the non-benefits, I think we have to be very honest with ourselves. When I talk about unifying our city, it's to understand that our city is disconnected. When you understand the Little Rock School District has had 24 superintendents in 27 years, that's a problem. When you understand that, quite frankly, the school district was pencil whipped into getting taken over when you only have six of the schools that were under academic distress, under 48 schools. Now we have three that are remaining. There have been a lot of non-benefits as it relates to that because it hurt the community and it helped the community to remain disconnected. Now I will say one benefit of it is we had two great superintendents. We had Mr. Curris and we also had Superintendent Poor, who both have worked diligently to make certain that we become up to par as it relates to our academic levels as we move forward. Again, for the Little Rock that I want to know and grow to reach its true potential, it has to have more diversity in the marketplace and educational achievement. And so, if anything, we had two great superintendents of this process.
Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Michael. There have been absolutely zero benefits for the people. If you look at benefits, people who have owned and operate charter schools, they have benefited. Why have they benefited? Because they have siphoned monies from the Little Rock School District. And at today's date, we have about 900 less people in the Little Rock School District on account of the proliferation of scholars of charter schools. So that's a benefit to those folks. What are the downsides? There have been many downsides. We have had the closures of Franklin. We have had the closures of Woodruff. We have had the closings of Wilson. We have had the closure of Hamilton. So communities have been disrupted. Families have been torn apart. They can no longer go to schools that were walking distance in their communities, and chaos has ensued. So those have been the downsides of these closures that have been aided and abetted by the Walmart Family Foundation. So when you talk about benefits and downsides, the community has bore the brunt of it, and then the charter school owners have benefited.
Mr. Curris.
First off, thank you, Mr. Scott, for the kind words. I do appreciate that. That was a job I loved, and I think I want to focus on that. I was superintendent of schools. I began on May the 3rd of 2015, and I think if we proved anything in the next 14 months, and I didn't do it by myself, I think we proved in this community that we can pull together, that we can listen to one another, that we can respect one another, we can disagree, because most people didn't think I belonged in that position when I took the job. But over time, one by one, without convening a special task force, by the simple act of respecting other people, by validating other people's viewpoints, even if they were different from my own, by collaborating and communicating, and building teams with employees who really wanted to work, I was just gratified beyond words with the level and quality of the people in the Little Rock School District who really wanted to work. And that's why I'm running for mayor. I think we can do the same thing. And that's what unifying is all about. And that's what I would hope to do. If there was a benefit at all, that would be what I would say.
Mr. Saban.
Well, it's never a good thing when democracy and direct representation is taken away. And I've served 6 years in the State House of Representatives, including 2 years on the House Education Committee. And I spoke out against this takeover when it happened, precisely because it was done under dubious circumstances. 6 out of 48 schools were under distress. In any other school district in the state, that wouldn't have been enough to justify taking it over. Since that time, you have had a fracturing of the community. We also had a millage that didn't pass, mainly because people didn't feel like they were well represented, and they didn't have a voice in that. And then after the millage didn't pass, the school district went ahead anyway and bonded out the same project. So we have a situation right now where there's no representation, and that's why I'm so passionate about a mayor really getting involved on these issues, because we need a public advocate. And we need someone demanding that we get an elected school board back as soon as possible. We need a date certain. We need the benchmarks by which they will give us control back. And until that time, the mayor needs to be that person representing the interests of the people when it comes to education.
Question two. Do you think the growth of charter schools has impacted education in Little Rock positively or negatively? And what, as mayor, would you do to support what you view as the best educational options for young people in the Little Rock area? First, Mr. Scott.
Yes, I believe it's been an issue both positively and negatively. It depends on who you talk to at the point in time. I have dear friends that I grew up with in the school district where they are products of Little Rock School District, but when they are looking for options and for whatever reason due to the designation zones, they choose to go to a charter school. And that's an issue that they want to put their child in a public school, but they feel like that public school is not a benefit to their child, so they're making that choice to put their child in a charter school. Here's my issue with charter schools. They tend to cherry pick. They tend to cherry pick students that are the most high achieving, but they don't go after the most low achieving and low income from that standpoint, which creates more segregation, creates more disenfranchisement of those children. Here's the day we need to make certain that no matter the neighborhood, no matter the zip code, a child can have a great quality of education, whether it's a public school or a charter school. Here's the thing. Charter schools are here right now. I'm running for mayor. I'm not running to be the superintendent. I'm not running to be on the school board. I'm not running to be a state representative. Here's what a mayor can do. Focus on the things that needs to be focused on as it relates to summer grade level reading. You can learn more about that at FrankScottJr.com and our opportunity agenda.
Mr. Tolliver.
Yes, Michael.
Sorry.
Charter schools have had a disastrous effect on the Little Rock School District, from the declining enrollment and also the ability to have monies to pay a lot of the staff, certified staff, et cetera. Also, the Arkansas Department of Education has failed to hold charter schools to the same standards as they hold the Little Rock public schools. What I mean specifically is this. There are two charter schools that are known to be failing, and the Arkansas Department of Education have failed to close them. Those two charter schools are Little Rock Preparatory School and Covenant Keepers. Those schools are failing, and if parents are out there, they should take their children out of those schools immediately and return them to the Little Rock School District, because those two schools are failing.
Mr. Curris.
Well, it was March 31, 2016, when I spoke before the State Board of Education, and it was a week after that, on a Monday, when they non-renewed me. And the reason I think they did, and I don't speak publicly about this, but I will say this. There's evidence presented, and if you want to go to the Department of Ed website, you'll see it, that 80% of the kids that left the Little Rock School District for Lisa and East End were proficient and advanced in language arts or literacy. 79% were proficient or advanced in mathematics. Those are the plain facts. All I ask at that point in time was that we have a citywide plan to stop right where we were. I wasn't arguing against Lisa or East End. I was saying we need a plan, and we still need that plan. That's what we've got to have. This community is served by four of the largest school districts, four of the top 20 in the state without a single plan. The state controls charter schools, the Little Rock School District, and the time I asked for a pause and a plan, they also control the county. So I could talk literally for hours. I can tell you all about isolation. Anyway, I've got much more to say about that.
Mr. Saban.
Well, I think it's important to start by remembering why charter schools came into being in the first place. They were meant to be laboratories of innovation for public schools. They were never meant to be separate from the public school system in the first place, and that's what's happened here in Little Rock. And so because of that, we have basically a zero-sum game. When a student moves from a public school to a charter school, the money follows the student, and we are hollowing out our public school system, and that is hurting public education and especially equity of opportunity for everybody in our city. And so that's why when I look at other cities around the country, I see them actually moving to build collaborations between the charter schools and the public schools and to bring them together, because the charter schools have incentives to come back into the fold because they have issues with transportation and facilities and other things. We can transcend the old fights and the old battles, but we need new innovative leadership to think differently and bring people together and stop this zero-sum pitched battle that's happening in our city that's tearing us apart.
Mr. Schwartz.
Well, this is a very educational forum for me, I must say. The reason we have charter schools is because I think we've had 24 superintendents in 27 years. I think one of the former superintendents just before you started the East End School, isn't that not right, Mr. Kouris?
Yes.
Yes, and that's the most successful charter school there is. As mayor, I will work with the public schools and the charter schools as they may be.
Our third question. The city currently runs after-school programs through its community centers. How else could the city work, either independently or with local schools in the Little Rock School District, to improve the availability of child care pre- and pre-K programs in Little Rock? Mr. Tolliver.
You know, one of the conversations, Michael, that I recently had with the superintendent is the pre-K, well, the birth of the pre-K center at Rockefeller. I think that we need to look at that as a model and expand that when and where we can, because it works. It is a great program, and we need more of them. One of the things that I've also talked about on the campaign trail, Michael, is a collaboration that I'd like to see with local businesses in the community where they put in monies, pots of monies for walkable child care. For example, if you work and live downtown, if you work downtown, I would love to see the businesses get together and put monies into a pot where their employees could walk to where their children were. So I think that it would be more productive employees. I think it would be a good relationship for children, and it would foster a sort of atmosphere that we don't see in this city presently. So it's not so much the Little Rock School District involvement, but I would also foster and request a partnership with local businesses as an incentive to their employees that have children.
Mr. Kouris.
When I was superintendent of schools, we stopped this programmatic obsession that the school district had. They had programs for everything, but they had no systematic approach to education. We made tremendous strides, if you look at the Iowa Test of Basic Skills, by aligning curriculum to state standards, teaching that curriculum in 9-week increments, pre-testing, post-testing, and reteaching where necessary, made systematic changes to the way we educated kids, because the programmatic fixes never work. And that's the problem in our city. If you ask, I think the question was, how could the city help the school district? Well, it has to be systemic. can't be programmatic. It can't be a quick fix out of some prevention funds or something like that. So if we want to build those partnerships, first we have to fund them. The city has no money to do that. The city just is running way behind on its revenue projections due to lack of sales tax growth, lack of property tax growth, because we're failing neighborhoods. So I think that my focus would certainly be to have systematic interaction between the city and the school district, but first to fix neighborhoods.
Mr. Sabin.
Well, one thing I get really excited about is thinking about schools as being the centerpieces of every neighborhood, and how do you bring more people together in those places and provide more wraparound services, because these are facilities that, again, can serve more than just the young people during the day. You have the opportunity for seniors to be able to utilize the facilities and others to use athletic facilities, for us to think about providing health care in the way that UAMS and Children's have opened clinics in places like 12th Street and Southwest Little Rock. We need to be thinking creatively about how do we make the most of our facilities and how do we build collaborations across so many organizations that want to provide services that are accessible to everybody, and once again, bring people together of all ages and all backgrounds to take advantage of really critical needs and services that our city can uniquely provide. And so I want, as mayor, very much to work with the school district, but also bring other partners together to achieve these kinds of community resources for everybody in the city of Little Rock.
Mr. Schwartz?
Well, I can see some after-school programs for kids, but I'm actually opposed to pre-K. I don't think it's the job of this Little Rock City to provide daycare services.
Mr. Scott?
Well, I've thought a lot about education and how a mayor can actually have some true impact with the Little Rock School District and overall education in our city, because a mayor has to lead on education. Here's how a mayor can. If you go to frankscottjr.com and look at our opportunity agenda, I have it well detailed there. But I'll spend my time right now on summer reading academies. I'm a staunch supporter of a summer reading academy that's focused on grade level reading for the ages of third grade. We understand if our children aren't able to read by the time that they're in the third grade, they'll either be dead or in jail. We have to stop that cycle. There are prison statisticians right now that are determining the number of beds that are going to be built for future prisons because children cannot read. And so in a Scott administration, we'll focus on identifying $11 million in the existing city budget, which is there, to fund this summer reading academy that focuses on an optional program for teachers. So if a teacher signed a 9-month contract or 12-month contract, this will be extra pay. If those teachers decide not to teach, that we can always go after retired teachers. And I think this will be the biggest impact that a city can have to create transformational change in our city by focusing on grade level reading.
Mr. Tolliver.
Oh, I actually answered that question, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shall I do it again?
I must apologize. I've been up since about 4 o'clock.
I've got more to say. Let's go around one more time on that one.
Before we move on to the next question, I will remind those listening on the radio that we are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This is a forum on education, the fourth in a series of five being presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. Okay, on to question four, and then we'll shift to questions from the audience. How can the prevention, intervention, and treatment dollars allocated by the city for initiatives like the Summer Youth Employment Program be altered to make more of an impact in the lives and education of young people? Mr. Curris.
Well, if you go to the city's plan, which they crafted in 2016, they've got a framework for all of that. I've read it. I read it today. I don't know if it's going to work. I can tell you as mayor, I've looked at outcomes. I know how to analyze systems. I know how to look for results, key performance indicators. That's how I ran the school district, and that's how I would run the city. And so I would evaluate every single dollar we spend, whether it's prevention, intervention, or treatment. And I can also say that the city really doesn't need to get into after-school reading during the summer. When I was superintendent, we had every single student who was below grade level in reading had an opportunity for a summer school program that was research-based, taught by a certified teacher. We provided breakfast and lunch, and we tested and then retested. So every single student had that opportunity. Every high school student had an opportunity to recover credit. There were almost 3,000 students in that program in the Little Rock School District. So as far as evaluating things, I know how to do that, and I can drill down and get the data, and that's how we have to make these decisions, data-driven decisions.
Mr. Saban.
Well, I also think it's very important that in that particular part of our budget that we are measuring outcomes and making sure we're being very transparent and accountable with the money we're spending and not just doling it out to, you know, anybody who applies. However, you know, I do think that what we can do is focus on jobs and workforce training for our young people, because I think that's one thing they're sorely lacking right now. There are so many jobs available to young people that they're unaware of and unprepared for, and we can work with the private sector to provide apprenticeships and make sure that, again, that young people are exposed to these opportunities. You know, one thing I did a few years ago was I founded something called the Arkansas Regional Innovation Hub, and the whole idea was to make some unique technology and resources available to both youth and adults so they could get their hands on it and learn how to use it, be exposed to it for their career paths, or also to be entrepreneurs. And that's something that we haven't been doing for enough young people who don't have access or exposure to all of these things that can be good sources of income and careers going forward in the future. So I'd like to see that happen.
Mr. Schwartz.
Well, I'm not sure the city should be providing jobs for everybody that needs one in the summertime. What would be more relevant is to make sure that the schools are teaching the attributes of honesty. I mean, honest people have a more accurate view of reality, and that should be taught in the schools. And then, like I said, in my 16 years of being in schools myself, I don't remember if that was actually pointed out, that honest people have a better view of reality and therefore will be more successful in life. That needs to be taught in the schools.
Mr. Scott.
Growing up in Little Rock, I remember when our summer youth program used to really had a lot of meat. Used to have an opportunity where kids like myself learned soft skills, learned real due diligence on how we work in this daily life that we live today. We have to have our major employers more engaged in our summer youth program and move away from it being a glorified daycare system. We have to make certain that the business and industry are part of this process moving forward. Secondly, as it relates to job training, we have to utilize our community centers to make certain that they are truly connected to the community with business and industry to make certain that we are preparing our children for the jobs of today and the jobs of the future. And then finally, as it relates to the Summer Reading Academy, as I shared earlier, again, this is a project that has to be mandated for those who are in need. When there's an opportunity to choose not to go to school in the summer, we definitely will choose not to go to school in the summer, and we still have our issues that we have in place within the third grade. And just to make certain everyone knows that this thought was not by myself. This thought actually came from Little Rock School District.
And finally, Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Michael. One of the first things I think the city can do as it relates to prevention and intervention dollars is not focus on the summer, but implement a program that is year-long. I'm thrilled to announce that even on the campaign trail, we have an initiative called Black Boys Are Brilliant, and we are partnered with Sergeant Willie Davis, who runs the OK program. What that program does, it empowers black boys ages 5 to 18 as residents of the city, and it also engages them in democracy. How? Simply, based on the street that he lives, we tell him what ward he lives in. We also tell him the city director. We give them the number of the city director. We tell them who the police officer is. And we also give them a name of the police officer that is a friend of the community, Sergeant Willie Davis. Well, what does this do? This changes the narrative when it comes to their interaction with law enforcement. Because I guarantee you, when you are a law enforcement officer and you're engaging with a young black man, and that young black man lets you know he knows what ward he lives in, he knows his city director, he knows his police chief, and he also knows the name of Sergeant Willie Davis. That changes the dynamics of that operation. So empowering them as residents of Little Rock and also engaging them in democracy.
This is a forum with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. We are at the Roosevelt Thompson Library, and we'll now move to questions from the audience. This one from Tamiko Townley. She writes, how will you ensure all students have equitable opportunities to quality education, regardless of which zip code they live in? Mr. Saban.
So that's my number one goal on this issue. And, you know, I think it's really important that we convene a citywide effort toward that end, because as long as I've lived in Little Rock, all of the efforts have been very ad hoc, very reactive. They say, you know, we'll build a new school in one neighborhood or repair a school in another neighborhood. Meanwhile, you know, the other neighborhoods that aren't getting those things are resentful. They're not part of the process. And we need to make sure that there's leadership that says, no matter where you live in the city of Little Rock, you know you can send your kid to a great public school. And so I want to start by listening to every neighborhood. I want to convene those conversations. I want to take the feedback we get and turn it into a plan that really ensures not just great facilities, but excellent teacher pay and all of the things we need to guarantee great education to everyone in the school district. And if you don't think that's possible, I point you to the example across the river in North Little Rock where they did exactly what I just said a few years ago. They listened to the neighborhoods, they made a plan, they passed a millage, they built new schools. Now they have a terrific facilities throughout their district that has made people stay in their city and come to their city. We need to do the same thing in Little Rock.
Mr. Schwartz.
I'll reiterate again that the city of Little Rock does not run the school district, and whatever school system we have, and including the charter schools, that's what we've got, and it's not going to be my job to improve or degrade that. I'm more like a physical environmentalist. I want to try to make sure that there are sidewalks and bike paths leading to the schools. I think it's a waste to do busing and to have every parent in the city come by and try to pick up their kid at 2:30 when the school's let out. So I'm a physical kind of environmentalist, and that's what I would be working on is getting the kids to where they can show some independence and walk to school or take a bicycle or, if necessary, the bus.
Mr. Scott.
While the mayor has no direct control of Little Rock School District, we understand the best way to have influence over Little Rock School District or any organization to become a strategic investor into it. Hence the reason why I talk about our Summer Reading Academy is because that has a real impact not only on the Little Rock School District, but our educational system and our environment here in our city. But number two, if I'm the next mayor, I'm going to make certain that I have a chief education officer that creates collaboration between the resources of the city of Little Rock that can help invest into the Little Rock School District. But not only that, we have to focus on our truancy issues because we have many children that are on the streets right now. And if they're on the streets, they're going to be in your house or my house. And we have to make certain that they come back to the school and make certain that the mayor plays a role in that process as well. It's not only an educational solution, but also a crime prevention solution. But finally, we have to make certain the next mayor becomes very involved in the political process of LRSD. He or she has to make certain that we are electing qualified and great school district members, school board members, to make certain that we can make certain that there's no longer desegregation. And the next mayor has to shout to the rooftops about those type of things and work within any system that he or she has to make certain that that comes to fruition. He or she can no longer be silent.
Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Tamika, for the question. Equity is essential. One of the best ways to establish equity in any school is to make sure that all schools have a world-class education. How do you do that? You do that by involving volunteers and churches in the schools, in their communities. There are a number of retired teachers, retired educators, people in the grassroots community, people in nonprofits that want to be involved in public school education. So by offering those groups opportunity to come and be involved on a volunteer basis in all the schools, you can make sure that we have equity in the schools. The benchmark for all schools should be a world-class education, and the only way you do that is you bring in volunteers to help with the education that's already going on in there with the teachers and help supplement in ways that you can. So a world-class education should be ensured for all schools by increasing the volunteerism in the schools.
And Mr. Kurse.
Well, in a minute, I'm not going to be able to tell you everything I would like to tell you, but let me start. The question was about equity in schools. The trouble with this whole proposition is that if you measure a school by the performance of its students and you live in a segregated city where people are segregated by income, by disability, by whether they speak English as their primary language, and you expect schools to perform on the same basis, you will be sadly disappointed. And the fact of the matter is simply this, that in schools with great need, when I was in charge of the school district, we spent more money, is exactly as we should have. The cost per pupil in schools like J.A. Fair was much, much higher than it was at Central High School. The cost per pupil at, say, Chico Elementary, much, much higher than at Roberts Elementary. And Chico's a marvelous building. So there's so much misunderstanding. But until we attack neighborhoods and we desegregate our city, until we stop isolating kids who don't speak English, kids with disabilities, and kids of poverty, kids of mobility, we're going to be grappling this with this problem for a long time. That's the straight story.
We are speaking with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. This forum is focused on education. It's the fourth in a series being presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1. I'm Michael Heplin with KUAR News. Our candidates are Warwick Sabin, Glenn Schwartz, Frank Tolliver Jr., Frank Scott Jr., I'm sorry, sir, Vincent Tolliver, and Baker Curris.
We're going to have to get Nate Coulter over here to come take over, Michael.
I know. You can hear me doing early mornings on KUAR, so this is late night for me. So, thank you all, though. We'll now go to another question from the audience member, Becca Green. As mayor, what steps would you take to align city support services with supports needed by students in the Little Rock School District? This one will start with Mr. Schwartz.
All right, got that one right. This weekend, I went to the reopening of the MacArthur Military Museum, and their city runs several, you know, kind of tourist attractions, the MacArthur Military Museum, the Art Center, and the defunct Aerospace Center that are kind of like continuing education, you know, where your kids can take field trips to see this and that. In fact, I wanted to bring up the idea of reopening the Aerospace Education Center, but I'd heard that the city was thinking about tearing the building down, so I went out and made a special trip out to the airport, and indeed, that building is gone. What a dumb idea that was, to take that building that had a really nice program in it, and then it closed, and now to just raise the whole building. So I guess I should throw my support between maintaining the MacArthur Military Museum and the Art Center and these kind of day trip or field trip kind of locations that would teach kids whatever topic they are intended to teach.
Mr. Scott?
Becca, thank you so much for that question. Please take time to go to frankscottjr.com and take a look at our opportunity agenda. When you talk about aligning city resources with the Little Rock School District, that's a priority that will be definitely for my chief education officer. In the Scott administration, the chief education officer will be a chief liaison with substantive duties and powers from the city perspective, not only to attend school board meetings, but to really play a role in helping the Little Rock School District and being that liaison not only between the Little Rock School District, but various community organizations that also have interests in education in our city. That's where I see our chief education officer having a pivotal role in making certain that we align not only resources but create collaboration opportunities so we can all have an on-hands-on-deck approach in moving our city forward as it relates to education, because that's what really is going to help our city reach its full potential. Thank you.
Mr. Tolliver.
Thank you, Michael. You know, the city of Little Rock already does a good job through the Department of Community Programs in partnering with the Little Rock School District. So the very first thing I'd do is I'd sit down with the head of the Community Programs Department, find out exactly what programs are being currently offered. Also get the stakeholders of the Little Rock School District involved and figure out ways that we can increase the support services that are already been offered and brainstorm in terms of better ways to achieve goals that we or outcomes that we haven't achieved. So that's the very first thing that I would do. I would also make sure that we did a better job of utilizing the 12 neighborhood resource centers that exist throughout the city of Little Rock, partnering those particular neighborhood resource centers with schools in the area would be a great idea. So I would make sure that we expand the services. Well, first of all, we need to take an inventory of the service that we're already doing, expand the services through the 12 existing neighborhood resource centers in the city, and bring all the stakeholders at the same table to come up with a game plan to move forward.
Mr. Kurris.
Okay, the thing we got to keep in mind here, people, is that you're sitting in the city of Little Rock, but you're not sitting in the Little Rock School District. Does everybody understand that? Joe T. Robinson is in the city. So is Chenal Elementary, so is Baker Elementary, so is Joe T. Robinson Middle and Joe T. Robinson Elementary. So this focus on LRSD is a little bit misplaced. I think what the mayor can really do is focus on neighborhoods. If you look at successful schools, you find successful neighborhoods. If you look at successful students, you find stability in the neighborhood, stability with respect to housing, where kids are not mobile, they're not moving all the time. That's one of the strongest factors for student failure is moving from school to school. So if we support neighborhoods, and look at the schools that are doing well, and they're not all in the high-income areas. Look at Wakefield Elementary, which I did through a data-driven analysis. It's a strong community. They support their school. They support their children. There's stability in that neighborhood. And the kids achieve far beyond what you would expect if you simply stack those kids up by poverty or tried to do that thing. That's what it takes. A mayor can make a difference there.
And Mr. Saban.
Sure. Well, I addressed some of this in an earlier answer when I talked about the opportunity to really provide wraparound services where schools are located in order to serve more of the population of neighborhoods. But when it comes specifically to Little Rock School District, there are so many more collaborations we can take advantage of. I mean, again, we are sitting in a library, and I think the Central Arkansas Library System already works with the school district but has an opportunity to do more, and that's something the city invests in. We invest in our parks. We invest in our infrastructure in terms of making sure that, for instance, we need to have sidewalks that our kids can use to walk to school. We invest in Rock Region Metro, and I think that, you know, we've seen a great collaboration happen between UA Little Rock and Rock Region Metro and Pulaski Tech when it comes to getting people to and from school. How do we take advantage of those things that we already invest in terms of programs, but make them more available to young people in order to enhance and accentuate their opportunity to obtain an equitable education here in the city of Little Rock?
Our next audience from the question comes from Doug. I hope I'm pronouncing this.
Did you want to skip me on that one? Or did I start that one?
You started that one.
Started it.
Right.
Okay. Yes, Doug Censor, would you lobby to increase state funding for public education in general and teacher salaries in particular, regardless of who is elected governor? Mr. Scott.
Could you please repeat the question?
Sure. Would you lobby to increase state funding for public education in general and teacher salaries in particular, regardless of who is elected governor?
The answer is yes. I think the next mayor has to, in addition to focus on education, create a thorough legislative agenda on all impacts of the city of Little Rock. I think that would be a great opportunity to make certain that we increase the salaries of our teachers as we move forward. We do understand when you look at some other comparison school districts where you take Springdale, for instance. Springdale's budget is about $100 million lesser than the Little Rock School District budget. Their teachers are paid a lot more. They have the same social income impact that we have in Little Rock School District, and their students are actually performing a little bit better as well at the same time. I think what we have to do is start doing have a greater focus on how we truly prioritize the educators that are taking care of our most precious asset, and that would be not only by increasing educational funding, but making certain that the salaries of our teachers that we are really focusing on to make certain that they truly uplift our children through educational achievement. So, yes, to both answers.
Mr. Tolliver?
The answer to your question is yes, and certainly when Jared Henderson beats Asa Hutchinson, I will go down and personally lobby on behalf of the city for state funding for education and also a teacher salaries increase. One of the things that I'd like to also talk about, Michael, is I've been thinking about the Arkansas Lottery and how the Arkansas Lottery currently gives scholarships in terms of students. And my question is, why can't the Arkansas Lottery also give money to increase teacher salaries? We haven't done the due diligence and the work to look into that, but that's certainly one of the things that's on our list as it relates to increasing teacher salary.
Mr. Kurris.
Well, I'll tell you what I learned as a superintendent of schools. If you go through the circadian rhythm of a school year, you'll have a renewed appreciation for the people that serve in our schools. And there's only one place where teaching and learning takes place, in a classroom with a certified teacher and a student who's present and willing to learn. That is the most valuable relationship in a school district. And that's the relationship I spent all of my time fostering and building and seeking trust and finding it. That's the kind of thing that we need to have. We need more money in schools. We need more money for kids with disabilities. We need more money with kids for kids with special needs. That's a very complex algorithm if you look at, and I understand the algorithm, but it's not going to be simple, especially if we're cutting taxes. But I can tell you this, we need higher starting salaries especially. That's where you get people early on, give them a living wage and an opportunity for a lengthy career where they can grow and develop. And I'm 150% in favor of that and always have been and spoken about it for since 1980.
Mr. Sabin.
Well, the answer is yes, because I've been doing it for the last 6 years. As a state representative, and I mentioned 2 years on the House Education Committee, I've been fighting to increase funding for public education in general and to increase teacher pay because it's so important for attracting and retaining the talent we need in our schools. I've also taken a lot of hard votes in the legislature, sometimes, you know, in a very, very small minority, trying to protect things like teacher certification, the Fair Dismissal Act, so many different things that have been eroding the quality of our public education that's offered throughout the state. I've also been fighting for universal pre-K in the state of Arkansas, and it's something we need here because if you look at every study that's ever been conducted, the availability of quality pre-K oftentimes is the number one determinant of what, you know, the future prospects of young people, both in school and in their careers. And so I want to see that happen in Little Rock. So you better believe I'm going to be working with our state government and anybody else who'll join me to make sure that we're doing everything we can, again, to offer equity of opportunity and education for every young person in Little Rock.
Mr. Schwartz?
No. I'll explain why. I will not be lobbying to increase state funding and teachers. I'm not a very good lobbyist, apparently. I have been to the state legislature and talked to hundreds of state legislators about making some kind of reform in the marijuana laws, and it's just like butting my head up against a brick wall down there. So, no.
This is a forum on education in Little Rock with the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. I'm Michael Heplin. Our next question from the audience comes from Larry Larson. What will you do regarding stopping gang violence? And I'll assume since we're discussing education, gang violence can obviously influence schools and impact education. So specifically to education, what would you do? We'll start with Mr. Tolliver.
Well, Larry, I think the first thing when you talk about stopping gang violence, you have to look at the present policing of communities. So we would make sure that police get in the communities and increase the community policing, because when people and neighbors and children know the police officers in their community, they are less likely to commit crime. So I think we have to increase the level of police in the communities, which means getting out of your cars, which means going to the neighborhood association meetings, which means knocking on doors, which means going to schools, getting to know some of the students that live in the neighborhood. That's what police in the community looks like. It's not rocket science. It's easy. So if you establish and build relationships between the community and the police officer, I think, you know, by definition, the crime subsides. And so when you say stopping gang violence, I think it starts with community policing. It also starts with fostering relationships in the community with the schools and the police officers.
Mr. Curris.
Well, the first thing we have to do is maintain full staffing at 593 sworn officers. We balanced our budget in 2017 through vacancy savings by not having a fully staffed police department. We paid a very high price for that. It's going to be a great challenge in our city. We don't have any extra money, and we're going to be fully staffed this year, and we've already had to make severe cuts. So, but we have to maintain that foundational funding for our first responders, including police. That's going to be a challenge. I'm just telling you the straight story. The second thing that makes a difference in what's working now is interagency cooperation. How many of y'all happened to see the paper the other day? They busted a huge methamphetamine ring. I think there were 16 different agencies involved, state, federal, FBI, tribe, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, local task forces, the county sheriff, North Little Rock. This crime doesn't stop at our city border. So what we have to do is, first, manage our money so we can maintain full staffing. That's not going to be easy, peeps. And then second, we have to have interagency cooperation.
Mr. Saban.
Well, thank you. We did discuss these issues in the crime forum, and I think everything that's been said is accurate in the sense that we absolutely need a fully staffed police force, as well as, you know, really do a sharp look at what size police force we actually need in the city of Little Rock to make sure we're adequately policing the city. And community policing is so fundamentally important because it's worked in the past in Little Rock when we had police walking the beats in neighborhoods around the city, and we need to get back to that. We also need a police force that looks more like the city of Little Rock and has more officers living in the city of Little Rock. I think that's important if we're going to build better community relations. We also need to think about employing a program like Ceasefire that started in the city of Oakland and has spread to other cities around the country that actually employs former gang members to be on the street and help kind of steer people away from these kinds of activities, as well as, of course, providing more opportunities for our young people so that they don't end up, you know, being led into a life of criminal activity. So there's so much we need to be doing, but it starts with a citywide effort to address the issue head on.
Mr. Schwartz.
Said we addressed this in some detail during the crime deal. All right, you take gang violence, you know, two words there, and then the key word is violence. And I'm an advocate, and this is something the city can do. I'm an advocate for drug law reform, outright decriminalization, legalization of marijuana, and de-emphasizing all these other drugs. And then the reason I wanted to see that is we could concentrate more resources and more criminal justice system resources on violence. So if there's gang violence, they would be, you know, because of the violent aspect of that, they would be, you know, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And the other thing, so if you decriminalize or legalize the drugs, then the gangs won't have that source of income either. And from an education standpoint, what was that, 15 seconds? Okay, from the... Okay. From the education standpoint, if we do legalize, the students need to be made more and more aware of what the consequences of drug use are. And so that's a job for the school districts, whether public or charter.
Mr. Scott?
We have to understand that our crime and our gang violence issues that we have in the city of Little Rock are directly related to poverty and education. As we address those two things, that will subside gang violence, that will subside crime. From a tactical standpoint, we have to increase, definitely I'm glad we are fully staffed now in 593, but we have to increase our staffing of 593 to 700 to cover Little Rock's 124 square miles. Each flavor of the city has a different type of crime that has to be addressed, but we have to have the police force ready and able to protect and serve. We have to make certain that police force is culturally competent, has to understand de-escalation tactics, have to understand implicit bias. We also have to have a citizens review commission that addresses police misconduct and police brutality. But not only that, we have to have a truancy project again that addresses our children that are out on the streets, not in schools, which gives them the opportunity to be a part of the gang at the same time. We have to make certain that not only our community members and former gang members are part of the process, we have to get our faith-based institutions a part of the process. But in addition to all of that, as we have our brothers and sisters that are coming out of the prison system, we have to have a reentry program that focuses on job training, entrepreneurship, and key jobs for them so they don't encounter issues that fails them to go back into the life of crime. Those are how the reasons of how we have to focus on crime and education in our city to make certain that we move forward.
And with that, we'll move to closing statements from each of the candidates for Little Rock Mayor. And a reminder, we are at the Roosevelt Thompson Library. This forum on education is brought to you by the Central Arkansas Library System, League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR. And for closing statements, 1 minute to each of you, and I believe it's your turn, Baker Curris.
Thank you. The issue of education we've discussed tonight is just a tip of a $2 billion iceberg. $2 billion is spent in our county on education, in our city. We didn't talk about a lot of the important parts of that. Our institutions are failing here. UA Little Rock has lost 10% of its enrollment. Pulaski Tech is 50% of what it used to be in a state that's dying for college graduates and people with associate degrees. UAMS has lost 500 jobs. It's killing our city. Our state is not supporting our city and the institutions that make this city great. Little Rock is the capital city. It is the center of education and culture in this city, in this state, excuse me. And the institutions must be supported. That's where the mayor comes in. The mayor's not the school board. The mayor's not going to run summer programs, doesn't have the money, even if it was a good idea and they wouldn't be duplicative. The mayor can't find another 100 police, but the mayor can support institutions, can make things happen in this town. If we ignore these institutions, our city will not thrive.
Warwick Saban.
Well, I've lived in my little house in the Capital View neighborhood for 14 years now. And I bought it as a 28-year-old bachelor, so I wasn't thinking about what school we were zoned for. And now I've been married to my wife, Jessica, for almost 6 years. It'll be 6 years on October 20th. And of course, you know, as we think about having kids, now all of a sudden we're thinking about what school we're zoned for. And would we have to move to another neighborhood if the schools aren't really up to par? And fortunately, that's something we can even think about doing. My concern is that there's so many people in the city of Little Rock who don't have that choice, who can't move to get their kid into the right school. And we shouldn't even be thinking that way. Our city should have great schools available to everybody, no matter where they live. That's a simple but fundamental goal. It's about equity of opportunity. And a mayor cannot stand idly by while this continues to fester. A mayor has to grab the bull by the horns, say this is an issue that affects the future of our young people and the future of our economic development, and the time to act is now.
Glenn Schwartz.
I am Glenn Schwartz. May the Schwartz be with you. I am the candidate with an eye on the future. In fact, I said at one of these debates, I am the candidate from the future. I believe that there's going to be global warming, that there's going to be tens of millions of Americans that are going to be looking to come to Little Rock. So whatever problems we have now as a city of 180,000, one day we'll be dealing with a major metropolis of a city of like 3 or 4 million people. And as for education, I want to quote Carl Sagan. You know, it is based upon the survival of mankind that we go to space and colonize other planets, the moon, Mars, or Europa. Because if, you know, we saw what happened to the dinosaurs, and for all of our technology and for all of that we have built, you know, at any moment it could end. A species-ending event could happen at any time. And in that case, what colonies we put on other planets will come back and recolonize the Earth. And we need to make our students aware that it's very important that they learn as much as they can.
Frank Scott, Jr.
I started this evening discussing Ernest Green on 2013, or the 100th anniversary of Daisy Bates, and the two things that he said that held Little Rock back was the diversity in the marketplace and education. We think about in 2015 when the Little Rock School District was taken over. 60 years later in 2017, as we celebrated the Little Rock Nine, guess what? Our school district was still under state control. We have to have a mayor that casts a true vision, that's not bound by what a budget could or could not do, that's bound by how do we bring our city together to unify one another, how do we focus on jobs growth, how do we truly have a vision for education on how the city of Little Rock can become a strategic investor to help out the Little Rock School District. There's a clear issue right now, and if we do not correct this problem, our city will die. That's how serious it is right now. We have to have a mayor that understands the seriousness of education in the city of Little Rock and its down and ripple effects moving forward. And the Scott administration will tackle this head on.
And Vincent Tolliver, you'll get the last word in tonight's forum.
From the onset, beginning February 2015, I've been on the front lines of demanding the return of local control to the Little Rock School District. We have to be very clear about how we got here. We got here because an unqualified man by the name of Johnny Key, which, by the way, the Arkansas legislature changed the law in order that he become commissioner of the Arkansas Department of Education, he is now the school board. He makes the decision. He was appointed by Asa Hutchinson. So the mayor
of course, can shake the trees and can speak truth to power. But the real issue here is the leadership in the governor's office. So we need to make sure we get out and vote, and we need to have a call to action because we are in a dire crisis here in 2018, October 1st, 2018, when we have a Little Rock school district that's resegregated. So I would encourage all the listeners, and I would encourage everyone in this room to call the governor and demand that local control be returned to the Little Rock school district tomorrow. Thank you.
The fifth and final forum in our discussion will be held 2 weeks from tonight, Monday, October 15th, at the Ron Robinson Theater. It will be a discussion of general topics. So to the five candidates for Little Rock Mayor, thanks very much for taking part.
Thank you.
This series of forums is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters of Pulaski County, the American Association of University Women, and KUAR 89.1, UA Little Rock Public Radio. You can find the audio recording of this forum at KUAR.org.